Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We sort of have morphed into the is assault acceptable in sports version of the program today. 855-212-4227. It started with me railing against the culture of throwing at guys in baseball. I think it's absurd and ridiculous, and only a baby and a coward would do it. And then it took on a little bit more life going to the Ovechkin incident from earlier this week in the NHL, where I'm totally not impressed by Ovechkin knocking out a 19-year-old, beating up a teenager. Ovechkin's, I'm impressed by his physicality in the sport. I'm not impressed by him doing that. And throwing at guys in baseball should not be allowed. Fighting in hockey should not be allowed. There's no reason why those continue to be only frowned upon in those particular sports. They're not part of the game, and they should be eliminated. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. How about Jason in Dallas? Jason, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin. Awesome topic, you know, because I played baseball my entire life up until low A ball. And it's something that's a dark culture, you know, plunk this guy, this, that. And I got hit in the head one time, knocked me out. Is a scary moment. And to me, it's equivalent to, like, are we going to let pitchers celebrate? You know, it's a big moment when a pitcher gets up there and strikes out Mike Trout. You see these guys celebrate on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
So is it okay then for Mike Trout to come up and say, you know what, that pissed me off, I'm going to hurl this bat at him next time I get up there? You know, it's like, it to me, it's insane. It doesn't make any sense. It's dangerous. We tried to make the game safer by eliminating home plate collisions.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't we not just getting rid of this? I mean, it's insane.
You know, Jason,
I
appreciate you saying that, because, you know, you played for a long time, and I really appreciate when somebody is able to separate themselves from that, like just using that as a crutch defense. Oh, it's part of the sport I played, and actually look at it with a clean lens. So I appreciate that. And also, when you say you got knocked out, like, I don't think people realize a concussion is a serious brain injury, right? Like, that is not that's not something to be played around with. That's not something to laugh about. Obviously you're okay, which is great, but that could be, you know, it isn't generally what happens, but it could be the result of that act.
To your point, where these pitchers don't know where the ball's going all the time. That's what I'm saying. That guy he felt horrible.
Yeah.
But the point is, I was knocked out of that tournament.
You know, yeah, of course. If pitchers had, if their control was so great, they would never throw a ball unless they were trying to do it on purpose.
Exactly. And that's all I wanted to say. That, and the kids look at this stuff, and if your son gets plunked in the head, you're telling me you're going to say, well, you know, it's part of the game. No, you're not.
Yeah.
It's not part of the game. That's all I wanted to say, man. It's a great topic. But
thank you.
There's no argument for it. No argument.
I'm with you. There is no argument. I mean, I've yet to hear a good argument for it, and I promise you, I will not hear. I'm open to listening to any argument for it, but I promise you I'm not going to hear a good one. How about Dean in Chicago? Dean, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Robin. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you taking the call. As I was telling your producer, I'm a little bit older, and I seem to remember back, and I'm probably going back a good 30 years, but during a football game, pro game, wide receiver took an incredibly cheap shot. The defensive player, of course, was penalized. But I seem to remember that the Monday after the game, the wide receiver did press criminal charges for aggravated assault. Now, I'm sure you have better access to being able to research something like that. But I, if it
Google.
The way I remember it, it would seem there would be a precedent for a player who gets severely hurt or has someone intentionally trying to hurt them, that they would have a legal case for that. And I would think that, you know, there again, if someone were to be charged criminally, hopefully that would cut down on those types of situations. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, I mean, I think it definitely would cut down on those type of situations. The problem is that person would probably be shunned, right? You know, because he violated some code, and that's why you won't see it. But, you know, on the surface, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to press charges for that. That is assault. I mean, that's textbook assault right there. How about James in Illinois? James, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, Robin. I don't think there's people that'll make a good argument for keeping things in the sport, but we're not living in a perfect world here. You look at the examples you're bringing up about hockey and baseball. Things do happen in football and basketball as well. You look at Bounty Gate with the Saints. That would probably still be going on if it wasn't leaked and publicly let out.
Okay, but that's what. It did, and then there was discipline and things like what happened in hockey and baseball. Absolutely, do not happen in the NFL and in the NBA. They don't, because there's huge ramifications. I mean, when you say it's not a perfect world, these are easy fixes. All you have to do is make sure that the punishment is super harsh and enforced, and you'll see it go away. Done.
Now, like I'm saying with the Bounty Gate, that punishment was more of a CYA than it was a legitimate discipline. You know what I mean? Like I said, but it was only a problem because it got out.
Well, sure, but Bounty Gate was only a problem because Bounty Gate was an agreement between the coaches and the players that was going on behind the scenes. I mean, you couldn't see it out on the field necessarily. You might have seen some cheap shots, but you're looking at them as isolated cheap shots, not part of something grander. So, of course, it wasn't punished until people knew it existed. People didn't know it existed. What we're talking about is right in front of our faces. We're seeing it.
Okay, so in the NBA, sure, there might not be as much fighting on the court, but at the same time, how many times do guys go to other teams' locker rooms and try to get in and do something after the game? At least in baseball or hockey, it's in the heat of the moment.
I would rather what happens in the basketball. Somebody confronts somebody and says what's on their mind is a lot more palatable to me than throwing a hard object at them.
Okay, but I mean, like I said, part of your argument is that things like that never happen.
No, I'm saying they're not allowed. They're not allowed in those sports. They're not accepted like they are in the other sports. They're not. You punch a guy in the NBA, watch how many games you're out for. You know it's the truth.
I mean, what was the guy's name? Crittenden? He brought a gun into the locker room.
Okay, who in their right mind would ever justify that? That's unacceptable. You should go to prison for that. I'm not like you're doing backflips now to try and create some sort of equivalency. What did I say in the last hour and 10 minutes or whatever it is, 12 minutes, that would make you think I would defend that?
You said that he should have been suspended 50 games
for
hitting a guy in the butt.
Yes.
And then Anderson should have got nothing, even though the language you used.
I think Anderson should have got nothing. You're talking about how do you respond in the heat of somebody assaulting you. And,
you can't punish a guy 50 games.
Sure, you can.
If you hit him in the head and knocked him out, or he was dead, or something.
But you can't use punishments based on punishments. Shouldn't be based on the result. It should be based on the intent. He intended to hit him, which is I'm saying the reason I would suspend him so long is one, because it's dangerous, and two, we can't just have punks like that in our sport, right? That's what I would like. I can't, as the commissioner of the sport, I cannot allow such punk behavior. I'd embarrass myself.
When a guy after the game goes to another team's locker room and tries to get in,
it's not the same thing. That's trash talk, more or less. That's like aggressive trash talk. Yes, it is. Give me an example of a fight in that case that wasn't punished.
What I'm saying is there's heat of the moment, and then there's where you have time to cool off.
Okay, I would much rather trash talk, aggressive trash talk, or whatever you want to call it, a confrontation with somebody even after the heat of the moment, than assault. I mean, you're talking about different things.
Your opinion is not the only one.
Then why are you calling in and listening to the show?
Because
if my opinion's not the one you want, you're on the phone with me right now.
The only one. Your opinion is not.
It's not the only one. Have you, James? Have you given your opinion?
Yes, I believe I am.
Okay, are you on the line? Am I allowing you to give your opinion?
Yes, but then you're just disregarding it like it's not an.
No, I'm disagreeing with it, and I'm telling you why.
Come off, man. You come off completely different than you probably think you do.
No, I don't think I am, because I'm allowing you. Look, I could have cut you off a long time ago. I have a button here. I could just hit it and say drop, and you're gone.
Yeah, that's true. You could have done that.
And I didn't. But I disagree with what you're saying, and I'm telling you why I disagree with what you're saying, and I'm telling you why I think you're wrong. That is how debating works. That is how conversation works. Yes. Of course, I'm going to seem like I think my opinion is the one that is most important. It's called the Robin Lundberg Show. It's in the name.
Your opinion matters to me, Robin.
I mean, thank you, but all of your opinions matter to me. I will listen to anybody's opinion. Like I said before, I'm not going to hear an opinion that's going to change my mind on this, but I'll listen to them all. And I'm open in general to having my mind change. I just can't conceive of an argument that's possible to do it on this specific topic. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. Make sure you follow me to see the only opinion that matters. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Having some fun talking about assault in sports. It's funny when you put it that way, but it's true also. It's funny because it's true. I think that's a saying, is it not? 855-212-4227. Wait, what is... I just got a tweet in here. I'm trying to understand what this is even saying. Dave Frakeshire tweets in, "Hey, Mr. Basketball, you forget that the unknown rule or unwritten rule for basketball, when a guy is pissing one of them off and they undercut them, there's no penalty for that other than a foul. Well, that's okay. That's not childish." What? You get thrown out of the game, man. You're like, you get thrown out of the game. Flagrant one, flagrant two. I mean, the argument in basketball, don't try and throw that in my face. First of all, actually articulating a point in a way that your point in a way that's possible to understand first. Second, the argument for basketball is that they go too far. Is it not? Right? Like, isn't everybody hearkening back to the days of yore? Like in the 80s, you could do that. Like, the argument against basketball is that they're too quick to throw a guy out, or they overreact to a foul. And I think they have to because of the perception. Move Them Chains 89 tweets in, "Man, you're the first person to say what I've been saying for years. The predominantly black sports, football, basketball, can't fight because we're already considered," and he put it in quotation marks, "thugs. But predominantly white sports, baseball, hockey, can fight, and it's boys will be boys." And I think that is true. I say that because I think that is true. Steven DeWitt says, "So you mean to tell me that if a batter threw his bat at a pitcher for celebrating strikeout, the roles would be reversed?" Well, yeah, that's the exact response. I mean, like, that is the exact thing that the batter could do that would be the equivalent. Like, that is an equivalency. People are creating a massive false equivalency here when they say that the proper response to celebrating your home run or admiring it is to have a baseball thrown at you. That is a ridiculous, absurd, and I dare say insane. You have to be insane to rationalize that. That's an insane point of view. That's an equivalency. But the equivalency to throwing at a guy, the pitcher throwing the ball at the batter, would be the batter throwing the bat at the pitcher. That is more or less the same exact thing. Would anybody be okay if the batter took the bat, ran up, and threw it at the pitcher? I would hope not. Let's go to Roy in Alberta, Canada. Roy, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Roy?
Oh, not much. I'm just listening to you while I'm driving. And, you know, I played semi-pro, played hockey all the way up to semi-pro, and I see your point where there's no fighting and stuff like that, but it is part of the game.
How is it part of the game?
It's always been part of the game, for one. And
well, that's not, like I said before, that's never a good argument. That, like, something has been done is not a good argument for continuing.
Okay, well, for one, it's a fast-paced sport. Mm-hmm. It goes on for 5-10 minutes at a time. You've got, like you said, you were saying 190 to 230. Well, you've got 150 to almost 300 pounds with, like, Bufflin with his gear on. Mm-hmm. So when he goes out and cranks a guy that's 150 pounds and he's your franchise player or your million-dollar, multi-million dollar player, where's the recourse?
Okay, but what about football?
You go out and
it should be a look.
You know what?
If it's a legal hit, if it's a legal check, there should be no recourse. If it is a dirty hit, then the recourse should come from the officials.
And you're comparing football to hockey. Well, how long is it? How on average, what's a football play run for?
I don't know.
30 seconds, say.
Maybe not even.
But exactly, 15 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
So now you've got a hockey plays that are going for upwards of 8 minutes, but just say at best 4 minutes, and that's probably low on a lot of parts, but 4 minute shifts, constant high flow.
I don't understand. There's going to be another down. Like there's a hit on every down in football. Whether even on an incomplete pass, the linemen are hitting each other.
How much adrenaline is going? For one.
How much adrenaline is going in football? Is you're arguing that hockey has more adrenaline, or
it's shut down? But it's shut down in 30 seconds.
But then you go again.
That's right. You go again, but you've already. By the time you've got that,
what are guys going to therapy in between each down? I mean, what are you saying?
What do you mean? So you've gone to huddle. So by the time you've done your play, you're almost a minute back at it.
I'm sorry, dude. That doesn't fly for me. I don't understand. I mean, like, because if you're going to say you have to police yourself there's the emotion of the game and the adrenaline of the game and you're getting hit, so somebody's going to respond. I don't see how that wouldn't also apply to football. I just don't.
Because the play is dead.
And then then there's going to be another play, later.
But it's dead again, and there's no... Of course there's adrenaline, yes, but I'm just...
I mean, what's more physical, football or hockey? What's more physical, football?
You're cooling yourself off, right?
What's more physical, football or hockey?
I would say in different aspects, they're both physical, but there's a total different aspect. I would say hockey's higher impact.
You have impact on every play in football. I mean, hockey, you're skating around the ice.
You can't say you have every play, but yeah.
Yes, you do. 100% there is impact on every play in football. 100%, every single play.
Linemen that are at each other, yeah.
Yeah, so there's impact on every play. Football is more physical than hockey, and you don't see that. And like I said before, hockey's very physical. I'm not dissing hockey. It is hard to get more physical than hockey, but football is. I mean, football is an activity that really shouldn't be done by human beings.
What you're saying, it's more physical or more contact. Okay, yeah. Well, for one, you've got more players on the field than you do. But what would you say is higher impact?
What do you mean higher impact? Football, every play.
No, there's more contact. More.
Oh,
contact.
So we're now measuring the impact of each individual hit. I mean, I've seen a lot of harder hits, I think, than I've seen in hockey, because you're not leaving your feet in hockey. You're not getting knocked to the ground in hockey. The worst hits I've seen in hockey are the disgusting, disgraceful, illegal ones where somebody's getting checked from behind, and they rightfully punish those guys.
And you do not know hockey. To tell me that you're not getting knocked down in hockey, I don't know where you...
Not to the same level of football where that's the goal. The goal of the sport in that moment is to bring the player to the ground. The goal in hockey is not to do that. The goal in hockey is to get the puck.
That's right. And you knock him off the puck.
Sure. But again, you're arguing something. I'm not arguing that hockey isn't physical. And I'm not arguing that they're, against hard hits in hockey. You're not hearing that. I'm not arguing against that. That is part of the game. Two guys are going for the puck. They're near the boards. One guy checks the other guy. That is part of the game. Them going to the center of the ice and throwing punches is not part of the game. Pretty simple. Logan in Pittsburgh. Logan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Logan?
Hey, Robin. What's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, the very last thing you said is what I'm going to respectfully argue. Hockey has fighting has always been a part of hockey. Since day one, you cannot tell me that when two guys drop gloves and square up with each other in the center of the ice and the lineman and the referee step back and let them have at it, you can't say that's not a part of hockey. How is that not a part of hockey?
Because it's not part of the rules. It's not part of the game. And
it is part of the rules. It is part of the rules. Let me explain.
Well,
why.
Yeah, you get it's part of how you get penalized. It's not part
it's
of like
part of how you get penalized. If somebody shakes gloves and drops gloves and the other person doesn't square up, you get penalized. 2 minute minor.
Okay,
if
but one. Let me go to your original point real quick. When you say it's been part, I don't care. That it's been a part of hockey. I don't care. That doesn't matter. It's not a. I will say this anytime a topic like this comes up, the justification of it's always been this way is never good for me. That never works. And no, and I don't want to draw like I'm saying about a lot of false equivalencies today. I don't want to draw a false equivalency to much more serious things. But with that said, there are plenty of things that were done for a long time that. There was no justification for them continuing. So the fact that it's been done is not an argument at all for me.
Okay, but nothing has changed. They're not really trying very hard to change that kind of rule in hockey. They're not looking very hard to get rid
well,
of fighting.
They've gotten rid of goons.
That's my other point. You know, take Svechnikov and Ovechkin. You know, Svechnikov from the Canes. He's a 19-year-old kid who's hot right now. He had, 20, 23 goals or whatever during the regular season, and he's got a few goals and a few points in the playoffs. And you square up with the biggest left wing in the league, what do you think's going to happen?
But why? Like, why is that? Said. Why is that even happening? Again, and then what is, like, Ovechkin look like a big tough guy because he beat up a teenager?
I agree with you there. I agree with you there. I'm not impressed, but I'm also not surprised.
I didn't say I was surprised. I'm not surprised. I've been talking about this for a long time. I just don't see why. What's the point? There's no justification. And again, like if you know, you can't just look at football. You can't do that in football. Why in hockey? There's nothing within the. It's not germane to the game. A big check is germane to the game. It's part of it. Just like you know, it is part of boxing to punch someone in the face. That is sanctioned combat. It is part of mixed martial arts to choke someone out. That is sanctioned combat. It's part of the NFL to hit somebody hard. That is actually the goal of the game. Going to center ice and throwing your gloves down and then exchanging punches and somebody getting put on timeout is not part of the game.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
We're talking baseball and hockey. How about some lacrosse? Today, starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network for some nonstop top 20 college lacrosse as we get things rolling with Lehigh battling Bucknell, followed by Loyola Maryland taking on Army. And we wrap things up with Syracuse going head-to-head with Navy. 855-212-4227 is the telephone number. I'm going to move on to Kevin Durant in the NBA. I'll let Andrew in Syracuse, New York, have the final word on what we've been talking about. You're up next here, Andrew, on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm not a humongo fan of fighting in hockey. I'm more of a casual hockey fan, and I like the international game better. I would love if the NHL widened the rinks and went to a more wide-open game. So I'm just there seemed to be a little bit of a debate within the debate that developed mm-hmm. over the last 10 minutes between which sport is more physical, hockey and football.
Sure.
It's very close. They're both full contact sports. But for me, the one thing about hockey is that every hit comes with an excessive amount of forward momentum across ice, moving on blades. Whereas in football, a lot of the contact at the line of scrimmage, there's no real forward momentum. I'm not saying it's not physical and it's not a lot of contact, but the close proximity of where the contact is occurring doesn't make it as crushing to me. And in hockey, when you slam, everyone who's getting hit is getting slammed up against the boards and the plexiglass. And when you fall to the surface, you're falling to a frozen surface, mm-hmm. not grass or synthetic grass. When I watch it, I don't know scientifically if this bears out. When I watch hockey, it seems a bit more physical to me.
Well, here's what I'll say, Andrew. One, the stuff with the line you're talking about on the line, you got to remember how big those guys are. You know, I've talked to Dr. Bennett Omalu, you know, the Dr. Will Smith played in the concussion movie.
Yeah.
And he says that the most dangerous hits are the ones that happen at the line of scrimmage over and over again, because it's just mini collisions on every single play. And unfortunately, my argument for football being more physical would be what we've seen post-career, right? Like, maybe I'm ignorant when it comes to what hockey guys are doing after their career, but in football, we see guys ravaged by injury and unfortunately ravaged by brain damage as well. But in a sense, it's kind of a pointless argument. I mean, you could feel however you want to feel about it. What I'm saying by bringing up football is you can't really make the arguments people make for football or for fighting in hockey without making the same argument for football. Whether you think one is more physical than the other, I would say football is more physical. You can't say demonstrably that hockey is more physical and therefore needs fighting to regulate it.
Here's the problem the NHL has, though, is that football, no matter the culture of violence, is sort of imbued in how you play the game. There's never been a culture of fighting in the NFL.
Because it's not allowed. That's why.
Right.
I mean, it's not allowed. There won't be a culture of fighting in hockey if there's
I understand, but it never was.
So sure.
That culture never developed.
Because they didn't allow it. I mean, you get rid of it in hockey, the culture's gone. You get rid of it. You throw guys at watch how fast fighting gets eliminated in hockey if it comes along with a 15-game suspension or a 10-game suspension or whatever. Gone. That's it. Done. Easy fix. Some things are not easy fixes. This is an easy fix. Brian in Modesto, California, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, here's Modesto? What I'm saying, man. Okay, if wait till hockey gets more equal racially. Wait till you get some Mexicans, some black guys in hockey. And now they're squaring off against 150-pound, I hate to say it, white all-star. What's going to happen then? I agree with you 100%. There's two sports that they think fighting's okay. Everybody can come out and act a fool and, oh, you know, their boys will be boys. And then the other two sports, savages. So everybody knows the reason. People don't want to recognize it. Hockey is not part of, or fighting is not part of the game of hockey. It's allowed in hockey.
Well, it's not even technically, it's not even allowed. But yeah, it's like a extracurricular. It's like, some side gimmick. It's not part of the actual game.
Exactly. And the guy that said that the fighting and football was a part of the culture, yes, it was. They used to gouge, elbow, put their foot in chest back in the day, but they knew that would lead to fight, so they started penalizing that, which curtailed the fight. I mean,
because there should not be fighting in non-combat sports. I mean, it's pretty much simple. If it's sanctioned combat, of course there should be fighting. That's what it is. You could have an argument whether that should exist in the first place. Fine, I'll listen to your argument. Like, there's a reasonable argument to be made. There should be no boxing or there should be no mixed martial arts. I believe, in a sense, at least at this point in time, that these are informed adults making this decision and they're agreeing to do it. So I'm not going to tell them they cannot do it. So therefore, in that realm, it's okay to punch somebody. It's okay to fight somebody. That's the point. That is what you're doing. But it's not in hockey. It's not in baseball. And of course we know it is not in basketball. Turning to the NBA. You know, the NBA playoffs, I talked about it last week, how I thought it could be good for all of us that LeBron isn't in the playoffs. Not because it's going to be good for the interest in the NBA. Absolutely not. I mean, in fact, you've already seen ratings down pretty much across the board this season. And I think the postseason so far, and the biggest reason for that is LeBron. You know, LeBron's games were not in the 8 p.m. time slot anymore. This year, he was out a big chunk of the season. Obviously, the Lakers are out of the playoffs. And then you don't have the LeBron factor with the rising tide lifting all boats in the postseason. I think next year is going to be a monster year for the NBA with Durant possibly changing teams, Kyrie possibly changing teams, LeBron on his revenge tour, and Zion entering the league. But the playoffs, nonetheless, because LeBron's not there, because talking LeBron, you know, and I'm a part of it, don't get me wrong, but talking LeBron has been a 12-month-a-year, 7-day-a-week thing. People have just gone insane in the way they do it, where there's a referendum on his legacy and character on every single possession. It's insanity. You know, no one should be judged that way. And the way we talk about him is unhealthy. So I thought it's like time for a cleanse. You know, we'll go cold turkey for a while, and maybe people will come back with the proper perspective and be like, oh, I missed that guy. Or, wow, you know, let's not take that greatness we got to watch for granted, or and stuff like that. And I do think, as a result, you know, the NBA playoffs, I've found to be very entertaining so far. And I think as we go along, we're going to see some matchups that are going to bring in more of the overall interest, like if the Rockets play the Warriors, because the Warriors are the biggest draw remaining in the playoffs. And I think people are into Giannis, to the Sixers. You know, Boston obviously is going to have some pull. But with the Warriors being the biggest draw in the NBA, Kevin Durant right now is probably the central figure of the league. He's probably the central figure of the league. And if you notice, you know, there's been a lot of coverage around his feud with Patrick Beverley and his, you know, he's Patrick Beverley, I'm Kevin Durant, you know who I am, I'm Kevin Durant comment. Which, you know, the answer to that question KD gave was actually fascinating, because he's clearly a guy who understands the game, and he was thoughtful in his response from the basketball sense. But it also gave us another look inside one of the other aspects of him, and the fact that Patrick Beverley is in his head a little bit. It's not going to matter, because the Warriors are so much better than the Clippers. And of course, Kevin Durant is a vastly superior basketball player, an unbelievably great player, but it's in his head a little bit. And my thing with Kevin Durant is this. The guy is spectacular. Nobody could take that away from him. 7 feet tall, can handle, can shoot. He's become a force on the defensive end as well. He's developed his passing game, everything. An absolutely complete player. One of the best players the game has ever seen. Already. You know, already, Kevin Durant's one of probably the 10 to 15 best players who ever played. Right in that range. And climbing his way up. You know, but because of his decision to go to Golden State, it has put him in a situation that clearly made him uncomfortable. And, you know, I understand why people had the reaction, because I had the same reaction. It goes back to that kind of original sin where he went to a 73-win team, the best team in history record-wise. So, you know, I think he thought at that time he needed rings to validate his career. And what's funny about it to me is, you know, I feel the same way about KD right now. If he had zero rings, he'd be just as great to me with zero rings as he is with two, or he would be with three. You know, if I'm saying when he signs with the Warriors that the league has become pointless, they're just going to win, I'm then not doing a victory lap when they actually win. Doesn't mean he's less great, though. But I think part of that whole experience has just positioned him in a way that it's tough for him to escape that. And that's one of the reasons, or the reason, I believe he will leave this summer. As is, though, we know he's a guy that wants to be considered the best player in the league. We know that. The problem for KD is he doesn't seem to want what comes with being the best player in the league. You know, he skipped out on the media availability after that 31-point comeback the Clippers had the other night. And he's ran and hid, to be frank, several times this year. After the Draymond thing, he didn't do his press. After the Porzingis trade, when the speculation heated up about KD to the Knicks, he didn't do his press. After they blew a 31-point lead, he took, what, a handful of shots in that game, had 9 turnovers, he didn't do his press. Sorry, like, that's part of the territory when it comes to being the best player in the league. You want to be the best player in the league, you got to handle the responsibilities that come with being the best player of the league. Because I got news for you. You're not being held to the LeBron standard. No one should be held to that standard. And you're lucky you're not. Imagine if LeBron James's team had blown a 31-point lead, he had 9 turnovers, and took, what was it, 11 shots in that game, whatever it was? A handful of shots in that game. You know, like, imagine what would be happening on all the shows the next day. So KD's not even held to that standard. And I don't think because we held LeBron to a standard no one should be held to, we then should apply that standard to people going forward. That doesn't make sense. It would be against the logic I've used in so many other arguments. But even still, the best player in the league has a different standard than other players, than Patrick Beverley. Right? Different standard. Yeah, Durant took 8 shots in that game. 9 turnovers, 8 shots. People want to ask him about that. And the answer he gave the next day was great. That's why people want his answers, not his absence. So if KD wants to be the best player in the league, it's going to be hard for him to actually inherit that mantle if he doesn't want what comes along with being the best player in the league. And it's a fascinating subplot to me of the rest of this NBA playoffs because, look, I mean, LeBron still should have the opportunity to hold on to that crown. I don't think you lose a title by count out or disqualification. You got to lose the title by pinfall or submission. So there's still a strong possibility LeBron James is the best player in the league. He looked like the best player in the league in December, then he got hurt. But there's also a strong possibility that due to age, due to injury, we are in the midst of a turnover of that title, meaning it's up for grabs. And it's certainly something that's going to be discussed the remainder of this postseason. And right now that ball's in the air, and I think there are 3 guys going for it. One's Kevin Durant. One is James Harden. And one is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the rest of this playoffs could determine who comes down with it. KD's the favorite, but if he really wants that title, he's got to be willing to deal with everything that comes along with that title. Is Kevin Durant now the best player in basketball? 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.